and excitement to hear is Sunday Night Live from the Calvary Church. Thank you, congregation, and you may be seated. God bless you for being present here tonight. We're live and direct from the sanctuary here at the Calvary Church in De Quincey, Louisiana. And we welcome you to the shortest 30 minutes in gospel broadcasting from here across the nation and around the world, touching millions of hearts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When God laid this ministry on my heart 9 years ago, He assured me it was a ministry as a witness that the end time is near and the gospel shall be preached to all the world, and then shall the end come. And we've been so blessed to be here once more, standing behind this pulpit, this sacred desk in the holy house of God, and feeling His presence. Let's give Him a hand praise of worship again. God is especially here tonight. Thank God. We have a missions department at Calvary. Our missions director is Missionary Gerald Schultz. Our missions secretary, Sister Wanda Buxton. And our heart goes out to men and women of different cultures, parts of the world. That's why when this broadcast rains down on 87 nations, our hearts are blessed and we go home feeling we have touched somebody for Jesus Christ and in His wonderful name. Now, we received a lot of messages since our mission director has read them, but we have three or four of them for you tonight. And I'll be back in just a few minutes with the word of the Lord. Let's give Brother Gerald Schultz a good welcome here to the Calvary Pentecostal Church and to Sunday Night Live. God bless you, Brother Schultz.
Thank you, Pastor Hicks, and praise the Lord, everybody. Bible says in the last day they shall say, praise the Lord. I think that's a wonderful greeting. We have three messages here that we're going to read tonight. And I'll tell you what, they got me stirred up. Let me just read them to you and you'll understand my emotion in this issue. First one says, dear pastor and staff, I finally got my computer fixed and thank God I can now click on to Sunday Night Live. The message on factory recall was such an inspiration. May God continue to bless your ministry. And this is from Pastor Joyce Newell, New Life Pentecostal Church in New Brunsfell, Texas. I like that message. The next message just touched my heart. Listen closely. Pastor, there is little truth available in our communist country. Cuba needs a revival, and Sunday Night Live is igniting a fire that is spreading throughout our island. Bless you for preaching the truth. Since I was critical of my country, I cannot sign my name. Sincerely, a brother in the name of Jesus. Doesn't that bless your heart to know that sitting over here in a little obscure corner of southern Louisiana, we're igniting, I say we are, the message of Jesus Christ come down through the airwaves into their homes is igniting a fire that's spreading throughout the island of Cuba. That blesses my soul. I think we should worship the Lord for that. That just is a fantastic, wonderful news. And here's another one. Mr. Hicks, your sermon on factory recall indicates that you do not believe in evolution. I am not ashamed of my ancestors, and I don't think you should be either. Why don't you try preaching truth once in a while? I'm not ashamed of his ancestors.
No.
Oh, the story of Genesis is too far out for me, but I will continue to listen. Philip Morehouse, New York City, New York. I thought that was a wonderful message. Praise God. Now, we want to hear from more of you that are hearing this program tonight. It just thrills our soul to get messages because that tells us that there are people out there being blessed and listening and messages are going forth. Write to us at Post Office Box 715, De Quincy, Louisiana 70633. You can address that to Calvary Church or Pastor Marvin Hicks. And also, if you want to send a message over the internet, just go click onto the internet and go to CalvarySNL@AOL.com. That's CalvarySNL, one word, at AOL.com. You can put a message on there that'll ignite a fire under Pastor Hicks, I'll guarantee.
Praise God.
And we love it. We just are thrilled to death what God is doing. Now, here is the song that leads us into our messages. And as soon as this song is completed, Pastor Hicks will greet you again. I love to tell the story.
And praise before we tell that wonderful story of Jesus. Amen. While you're standing, if you'll turn to Judges chapter 16 and verse 30. The Bible says in that verse, "So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." I want to speak on the subject, mightier dead than alive. You may be seated. Samson in our text became the Hercules of Greece. Born to be a leader, he was a great warrior. The Apostle Paul applauds him as a man who through faith subdued kingdoms. He was a friend of God. He was an enemy of unrighteousness. But of all the remarkable and memorable scenes of his life, the time of his death was the most meaningful and dramatic. The Philistines hated him. And a woman named Delilah became desperate in her attempt to find the secret of his covenant and his power with God. She had him sleep upon her knees after begging him for the secret. And as he slept, the Philistines came and shaved his head, cut his locks, brought an end to his covenant with God. And then Delilah said, "Samson, arise, the Philistines be upon thee." And the Bible says, Samson got up, he went out, and he shook himself, but he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. That word wist is from the archaic English word, which means he knew not that God had left him. So he tried to shake himself. There was a time element between the loss of his hair and his death. Enough time for his hair to grow back. So they led the old giant to the temple of Dagon. There were 3,000 gathered that day, and the Bible said they made sport of him. With sharp instruments they gouged out his eyes, and they wrapped ropes around him and put him in bondage, then hooked him to a grinding mill. Around and around, the blind old giant was paying for his broken covenant. And they made sport of him. And I thought today, as I prayed about this message,
His life was so filled with exploits, you'd think he couldn't do more good at his death than he did in his life. On his way back from finding his wife from the Philistines, he killed a lion barehanded. He tied fox tails together, set them on fire, and sent them screaming, thousands of them, through the fields of the Philistines and burned down their crops. With mighty arms and power, Samson pulled down the city gates. But now he's in the temple. 3,000 people are making light of him. And the Bible said he asked for a child to come. The little fellow came and he said, "Lead me to two pillars that hold this temple up." The little boy did. I often wondered if the child got out alive or he died among them. But Samson prayed that memorable prayer, "Oh God, just one more time." I feel that way about America tonight. God, give us one more chance. Just one more time to repent and have an old-fashioned Brush Harbor revival around this nation. Help us, God. So all of a sudden there was a crash. The building came down. 3,000 people perished. And it was said of Samson, he slew more in his death than they which he slew in his life. Now there was another man was mightier because he died. And that was a man named Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, Cain's brother. Cain offered the vegetables and fruit of the land, but Abel had a revelation of blood. He understood that God would honor blood, and so he took an animal, a lamb. He killed it upon the altar. And it infuriated Cain when God honored Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's. So he grabbed the club and killed his brother. I'm going to pause and digress just a moment here. I'm writing an article right now about the atmosphere in America. I'm going to pray for nationwide distribution. There is now being created in our nation a very dangerous situation. We are in a time of tragedy, a time when we should pray as we've never prayed before, a time when brother is against brother, mother against daughter, father against son, families divided, not speaking, and then this atmosphere that's created by all of this tendency toward liberalism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and all the rest of the trash that's being pawned off on our nation by officials that we did not elect to do such a tragic thing to this country. We need a revival in America. Somebody in this audience ought to say amen. But there's an atmosphere that caused this past Thursday a major. Now, what is wrong in a country when a man can be in the Army of the United States, and we're celebrating Veterans Day this week? But how can a man be a sergeant and then advance to the awesome level of major in the Army of the United States and all the while hate the country that made him a major, hate the nation that made him a soldier, and hated the soldiers that were fighting with him, so much so that he took a gun last Thursday and killed 12 of them, his own brothers in the service? You say, what is the atmosphere created by? I'll tell you. You won't hear it from the president. You won't hear it on the news media. You won't hear it in Congress. But you're looking at a preacher that'll tell you the truth about it right now, regardless of the cost. When that man killed those soldiers Thursday, he cried, "Great is Allah!" He was a Muslim. Oh, wait a minute. I know there's a difference in peace-loving Muslims and fanatic Muslims. I understand that difference, and I respect that. But I'm going to ask you a question. Where did that major learn how to kill his own brothers? He got it from the same Quran, the book that all of you peace-loving Muslims read. And it says, any person who does not worship Allah deserves to be put to death. That's what the Quran says, that's being read and studied in hundreds of Muslims throughout this country. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ Almighty, we need to understand there's a one between those that believe in Jesus Christ as God and those that have false gods. Let's worship Him again all over this nation. I'm calling America to prayer through this ministry. God help us. And this is where he learned how to kill. In the name of Allah, innocent people die. What a sad tragedy. And yet, they're building more mosques than McDonald's is building hamburger restaurants. Help us, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to be strong in this day when faith in God is the only answer and the only way out of this mess we're in tonight. The politicians can't do it. I know I'm taking my time on this, but you see, Abel introduced blood. He was the first blood preacher by his act. And so he, being dead, yet speaketh. And the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of Abel. And Abel was mightier dead than alive. You say, how can you say that, preacher? Every pastor, evangelist that walks into a pulpit tonight and preaches the blood of Jesus Christ is saying Abel was mightier in his death than he was in his life. He gave us the ministry of blood. Every time I went to Christ Temple in Indianapolis, Indiana, there on Fall Creek Boulevard, that great, magnificent temple. And I remember the story they told me was so beautiful, that there is the study where G.T. Haywood walked out after 3 days of fasting and prayer and raised a piece of paper to that congregation and began to sing, on Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sin's demands were paid, and rays of hope for tomorrow across my path were laid, I see a crimson stream of blood. Yes! Abel is mightier in his death than he was in his life. Oh, thank God we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hear it, Muslims. Hear it, everybody in the world. You've got to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. So what you are is not confined to your casket when you die. Mightier dead than alive. Every telegraph says Samuel P. Morris still moves among us. Every telephone, every text message, cell phone says that Bell still lives. Every cotton gin says Whitney still roams the cotton fields. Every incandescent light I'm preaching by tonight says Edison still has an influence. And on every wheat field you can see McCormick's signature. And when in last October I endured open heart surgery, Michael DeBakey is a legend here in Lake Charles, being born here, a citizen here. One of the greatest heart doctors that ever lived in this world. Invented scores of instruments that were used medically, and some of them on my own heart. And when I went into surgery that day, Michael DeBakey had influence that helped me. So God help us to realize we're not going to be ended when we leave this world. You're going to lose something. Now, look at Jesus as our example. I want to ask you a simple question on the broadcast as I hurry along. Has he slain more enemies since he died? Did G. Jesus kill more devils after he died? All you have to do is open Hebrews 9:16. For where there is a testament, there must also be the death of the testator. For the testament is the force after men are dead. So it's possible for you to slay more of the enemy after your death. Of course, I hasten to say that depends on what you leave. You might leave a testimony of scandal and heartache, or you might leave an influence that touches people forever. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again. And he ascended to heaven. But while his body was dead, there was a miracle taking place. Very few theologians understand it. But if you have the revelation of God in Christ, you will understand what I'm talking about. There's a verse in Acts 2:24 that says about this dead body, him whom God raised from the dead. But there's an interesting verse that emerges in John 2:19. Jesus said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it again. There's something about Jesus that died, and something about Jesus that never died, which reflects that great miracle of Leviticus 14, where the leper came to the priest and said, look, I have an incurable disease, I'm going to die, can you help me? He said, yeah, bring me 2 birds. He brought him 2 birds. I believe they were doves. He killed 1 bird, and the blood of the dead bird was caught in a basin and sprinkled upon the leper. And then he took the blood of the dead bird and put it on the wings of the living bird. And he turned it loose. And as the living bird flew away, the leper looked down and he was cleansed. Jesus is our dead dove, but he's also a living dove. He has spread his snowy white pinions, crimsoned over by his own blood, and ascended to the throne room of God, and ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, that ought to make everybody happy. Yes, there was a time, there's a part that lives, a part that dies. There was a time when the Church of Rome believed that every hand that would be clapped to the glory of God was cut off. They believed that every tongue that would say Jesus' name at water baptism had been extracted. Every eye that would look for the rapture and the truth in the Bible, because it was a crime of that church to read the Bible in the early centuries. I can prove that as a fact. And so they thought they had killed all of the remnant of God's special church. But it has been said, this blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And all you have to do today, I challenge you, go to a candle-lighted, smoke-filled cathedral and feel, and then enter a Pentecostal revival. And you'll see the difference. One dies and one lives. Thank God. The church is still alive. And God is not dead. He's still alive. Bless his holy name. Now I'm going to close. But I wonder, when I think about the presence of God in a Pentecostal church, about Brother Guerin, who in a church in California wrote for a dedicatorial service the wonderful song, We Are Standing on Holy Ground. The mighty acts of David the king. He killed Goliath, the lion, the bear. But he's still living in our hearts, because every preacher that conducts a funeral or goes to the graveside and he reaches back and quotes Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hear me, people of God. David didn't die and be buried, and that was the end of him. His songs and psalms still live today. I want to mention, in closing, just a couple more. In my acquaintance in the Bible, where a person's life was not confined to the grave, Joseph, while he lived, quote, saved many people alive. As an example of untarnished excellence in the midst of many temptations, Joseph in your Old Testament speaks more from his sepulcher than he did when he was living. The Apostle Paul, who in his lifetime preached to multitudes, but from his grave his message ignited the fires of the Reformation, and also to millions revealed the true nature of the one true God in Jesus Christ, for in him, saith Paul, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Colossians 2:9. John Bunyan still roams the earth through Pilgrim's Progress. These are some spirits that have not been confined to the tomb. Men who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ were immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ, and God filled them with His Spirit. And you will be mightier dead than when you're alive, because when you die, only the body dies, but the Spirit goes back to God who gave it. And we are in the midst of the spirits of just men made perfect through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're compassed about with such a great crowd of witnesses. I want everybody in the audience to stand. Lift your hands and worship God as Jim Armstrong takes us off the air. God bless you.
We appreciate you clicking on to Sunday Night Live, an international broadcast ministry. It's on the air 24/7. This broadcast service features the ministry of our pastor, Marvin Hicks, and comes to you each week from the Calvary Church in DeQuincy, Louisiana. Now, when you visit us here, you will find a warm welcome in a spiritual atmosphere. And now, speaking for all the wonderful folks who make Calvary their church home, we're asking God to especially bless you this week, because we know He loves you, and so do we.